Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Paint Me to Paint Me show. I am the Reverend Edward Paintney. I tell you, we have been on a roll. I want everybody to know, I want you to be in Los Angeles, California, February the 1st for the Image Award. We will protest the Image Awards. And the theme is Burn, Baby, Burn. We have burned 3,427 NAACP cards. That's 3,427. Today, we will go over the 3,500 mark. And I tell you, people are getting fed up with the NAACP. Just recently in Chicago, a young man decided that he did not want to have anything else to do with the NAACP. He is sick and tired of the NAACP. They're out of touch with the community. They're a bunch of sellouts. And we are making sure that we get the job done. Thank you. It's already on. So we are doing what we need to do, taking care of our business, and making sure that we're on top of everything. The NAACP is going down. I know a lot of black people out there say, why are you attacking the NAACP? The reason why I'm attacking them, because they have failed to take care of the community. They have failed to do the things that they need to do, and we're sick of them. We're fed up with them. We have given them a free ride. They've been doing everything that you could think of in order to hurt our community. But we have had enough, and that's why we're saying burn, baby, burn. Today at 5:30, I myself have 17 NAACP cards that will be burned. 17 more NAACP cars, and I know I got people all over the country who will be burning their car. So let's get ready for it. And on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope, This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the crevasseal slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Paint Me to Paint Me show. I am the Reverend Edward Paintney. I tell you, I'm excited today about the show, all the things that we have done to be successful. Last week, we had an additional 7,000 people to join our show, which is truly, truly amazing. And listen, today I want to talk about TIAs, which is target individuals. I know people out there say they don't believe it, but believe me, it's happening every single day. It's over a half a million people who are targeted today by our government. Oh, yes, I know what you're thinking. It cannot be happening. It's in these individuals' minds. We're talking about 1 million people, mind control. They tell you, they use microwave, they use everything, lasers, you name it, they use it on you. This is the way the government operates. They want to be in total control of everybody. And I tell you, we are going to fight back. And I'm going to show you how we're going to fight back against your government. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
How you doing today, Debbie?
I'm doing good, Reverend. How are you?
Great. I'm just enjoying this good weather here in the state of Michigan. We have 50 degrees in December. We got to be happy.
That's right.
You know they're also controlling the weather.
Absolutely. Chemtrails.
Absolutely.
They're
controlling
sure.
everything. And the people
yeah.
are sitting on their hands and not understanding exactly what happened. But listen, I know you got something to tell me. Why don't you tell me what you got to tell me?
Well, today I'm going to talk about microchipping and different ways that people are – it's starting in our schools, but before this is starting in our schools, it's being done in research on targeted individuals. Microchipping is one way to attack a person who is under these research – frequency research programs.
Absolutely. And let's read about it.
Well, I'm going to read an article regarding students in Texas who are rising up against forced chipping. And this is just in September of this year, so this is not an old article. This is something new they're going to start. It's in the American Free Press, and it's by Mark Anderson. In San Antonio, Texas, there's a sophomore who opposed microchipping student IDs. that's putting a microchip in their ID that would track their every movement, and it has inspired a groundswell of 300 students in her huge district who now refuse to wear the identification chips over religious reasons, personal privacy, safety, and civil liberties concerns. In addition, some 700 other people have signed petitions opposing the microchipping program. The American Free Press first reported this story in September. On November 12th, Andrea Hernandez and her determined father, Stephen, met with the American Free Press to update their fight against the attempted requirement by the Northside Independent School District, and in the article that's called NISD, Northside Independent School District, for all 4,200 students in John Jay High School and Anson Jones Middle School to wear microchipped student picture IDs worn like necklaces. Most of the students are objecting to the chipped IDs. Most of them are in high school. And some at Anson Jones, some parents are taking their kids out of the schools because they said they won't be a part of it. And the media is covering this up. NISD started as student locator project in August. School documents show the total upfront implementation price for just those two buildings is $552,000. NISD wants to eventually force all 100,000 students in the sprawling district's 112 school buildings to wear the chipped badges. The RFID remote frequency identification chip enables school officials to track students on campus, monitor their whereabouts, and confirm their attendance. In addition, the Hernandez family believes that NISD is mainly pushing the issue to achieve the attendance goals needed to qualify for about $2 million in state education aid. Mr. Hernandez is awaiting a response from school administrators to a letter he delivered to them on October 19th, in which he refused their most recent proposed remedy of allowing his daughter Andrea to discreetly wear an ID that is not microchipped as long as she outwardly supports the RFID program, which is ridiculous. Mr. Hernandez.
So what you're saying now, this is the first time I think I have witnessed this actually being in the newspaper about the microchip. We have been talking about the microchip for years, but nobody ever believed that our government will try to put a microchip in our citizens here.
Yes, and they're starting with students. It's really unbelievable what they start with children, and then it goes, you know, as they grow older, you know, they're monitored even more and more and more. It's just a way to begin the process. It's a horrific program, and if people don't start speaking up, you know, there's talk that microchips are in flu shots and other vaccinations that they're giving away at the local pharmacy store, and this is really a huge problem that's developing in our country.
And you know what? It's going to get worse before it gets better unless we step up and fight this thing.
Absolutely. We should be supporting the people in Texas. We should be doing everything we can, because if it starts in one state, it'll spread to every state.
You know what? I just don't believe it's just in Texas. Texas, I believe it had already spread it to other parts of the country.
You're right, sir. It's been in research projects for a long time, these things. Now they're just kind of throwing it in our face to see what people will do. And thankfully, people in Texas are standing up and saying no.
Debbie, they also said when babies are born, they usually implant them with the chip. I don't have any other evidence to support that, but this is what they're saying.
Yes, that's true. Since I think 1982 and later, any child born is their blood is taken at birth. That might be further back. I think Ken Rhodes knows more than I do. But any time after 1982, babies are microchipped. Yes, that's true.
Very good. Listen, Deb, I'm going to thank you for calling. I'm going to bring on Ken Rhodes. Ken Rhodes, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinky. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, doing great. You told me that, is that Jeff who's supposed to be coming on?
Yes.
What's his last four digits?
You know what? I had him wrote down in the shop. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll bring him on later. But I want to talk to you about this microchip, if you can.
Okay. Well, first thing I want to say is that we're still trying to get money up for the billboard for you, so if any
of this is let me thank you for sending the $500 for the billboard also. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, and I got a lot of people that's pledged money, so we'll see how it comes in. But if anybody's got any extra, it's a good cause, and we need to help Reverend Pinkney up so he can help us. And then on the microchips, it goes back as far as 1948, Reverend Pinkney. But I don't know. I'm getting the feedback on my telephone here.
Yes, you have, but you are getting the feedback. Listen, let me go to my good friend Mary and bring her in. Let me see where she at. I'm going to bring Mary in. Then I'll come back to you. How about that?
Okay, then, mate, I'll try to get Jeff's number.
Okay, do that. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney.
Mary, I missed you last week. Don't never do me like that. You know how my heart is.
Well, I'm sorry. My mother was in the hospital, and I had forgotten my phone. And
my phone don't
allow me to call long distance. So it's a very interesting subject today about microchipping, sir. You know, a lot of people are being microchipped against their will, and some of them are being microchipped without their knowing it. In Florida, they were microchipping newborn babies. They also microchip elderly people in senior homes. But this, I was told, was going to be a part of the new healthcare program for the nation. Now, I don't know if it's still planned to be a part of it or not, but that's what we're getting around to. They want to microchip everybody and know exactly what we're doing. Now, a few years ago, there was a lawsuit where a gentleman sued his employer for sending him headaches. His employer was sending him migraines, and he won that lawsuit, sir. So that shows you that these microchips can do more than simply know where you are. They can use those microchips to send you ailments. And some people believe that the microchips, some of them are equipped with a little bit of cyanide or some type of poisoning, so that if you do something that they do not like, they can actually kill you. So there are a number of people who are already microchipped. Thousands of people are microchipped so that they can pass through different levels of building. For instance, if they have a high security job, they can go from the orange area to the green area without a lot of problems because they're microchipped. So a lot of people are accepting microchips willingly, and a lot of people are accepting they're being inserted with microchips against their will and against their knowledge. A number of people have been x-rayed, and the microchips show up on their x-rays. They have trouble getting doctors to remove the microchips. Now, as you know, I have a petition going now to prosecute individuals who were involved in the Tuskegee experiment. Many of these people are still alive. They're in their late 70s and in their 80s now. But when the Nazis who were involved in doing medical experiments and killed millions of Jews, some of them through medical experiments, when the war was over, those people were gathered up and they were placed in prisons and some of them were executed. And this happened years after the World War II. This even happened a couple of years ago. A man was found to be one of the Nazis here in America. He was in his 80s, and he was shipped back to stand trial. So the thing is that only black people have been killed that way with syphilis, killed with syphilis years after they understood syphilis and knew what it would do to people. Many black men were experimented on in Alabama with the okay of the president of the Tuskegee Institute. That's what it used to be called, Master Tuskegee University. Nothing was done to those people. The thing is that we're living now in a time when people want to experiment with human beings. They want to microchip us. They want to vaccinate us. They want to control us. What better time is there than now to go back and get those people who did the Tuskegee experiments and prosecute them? It's not good enough to say I was only doing my job. It wasn't good enough for the Nazis who killed the Jews, and it's not good enough for these people in government and in medical professions who killed, who were responsible for the deaths of untold numbers of black people in Alabama. They released that syphilis virus in the black community to kill people and to watch people die slowly. We have a nurse, we have a doctor, we have numerous other medical care professionals who some of them are alive, some of the government people who were involved in that program are still alive. We had a president, President Clinton, who apologized for the Tuskegee experiment, and also a $10 million-plus dollar amount was set aside to give to the family that lost loved ones, and also to provide for medical care, and they got free burial. So this is all that came of that. Nobody went to jail yet, but they need to go to jail, because today we have a crisis situation happening today. There is a company in Ohio. The name of the company is TriHealth, T-R-I-H-E-A-L-T-H. This big company employs some 10,800 people, and they just made a mandate that all of their employees must be vaccinated or they will be fired. Only 150 people refused. Now, this is 10,800 people who must be vaccinated for the flu vaccine. That's that H1N1 mixed with whatever else.
That man-made flu virus.
Yes. And you're right, sir, a man-made flu virus. And if they won't take it, they will be terminated. So, you see, we need to do something about this before it gets completely out of hand. Whose body is it? I want to switch pages real quickly and say that I really am sorry for all the families touched by the violence in Newtown, Connecticut this week, all the families that lost loved ones, and the whole nation is in mourning. This is not a discussion. This is not to start talking about gun control. It's time to talk about mental health care. Please look online for an article in the Huffington Post. A lady wrote an article, and it's called "I Am Adam Lanza's Mother." I am Adam Lanza's mother, and her name is Lisa Lunez. Lisa has a mentally ill son who's 13 years old who continually threatens to kill her and kill himself. Her name is Lisa Long. He is only 13, and she can still hold him down, drive to the hospital with him, have them take him in. But this is her son, a 13-year-old, who's threatening to kill her violently, kill her, and kill himself. So there are people who are mentally ill. Something needs to be done other than jail for the mentally ill. Something needs to be done to – we're down to 5% of the hospital beds we used to have for mental health care, because these people who own the prisons, the private prisons, they want them filled. As a matter of fact, before a private prison builds someplace, or buys the regular prison, they are promised. They are promised sometimes 90% occupancy rate, and the courts deliver. Whether people are innocent or guilty, they deliver. And over half the people who are in prison are mental patients. They are mentally ill people. This is what is happening in America. Our mentally ill people are being railroaded into prison when they should be in mental hospitals. Adam Lanza should have been in a mental hospital. His mother was his first victim. And this woman wrote an article saying, "I am Adam Lanza's mother." This is not about gun control. It's about what will we do with the mental health care system we have in America. I want you to know that mental illness was left out of this new health care plan. Yes, there is no plan for inpatient care for the mentally ill in that new health care plan. They are intended to continue to go to jail so that these people, the elite, can make money off our most vulnerable.
Mary, let me ask you a question. Since that incident happened, the National Rifle Association, I was listening to the newscaster. Looked like everybody refused to talk about the National Rifle Association. Looked like they're so intimidated by them, they had literally refused to even mention their name. And one guy made the mistake of mentioning his name, and the commentator immediately cut him off because they did not want to get into a fist fight with the National Rifle Association, which is a very, very powerful group. But I tell you, the pharmaceutical companies, these companies, are also things that they don't want to talk about. Why is it that they do not want to talk about the National Rifle Association and the pharmaceutical companies who I'm pretty sure that Adam was on some kind of medication, some kind of drug. He almost had to be.
Well, you know, this is a corporate America, and
yeah,
they don't want to talk about these corporations, and they don't want to offend them. But again, I say it's not about gun control. America, D.C., we need our guns. We need our guns. And I think sometimes that some of these things are happening as a result of, as you say, mind control, so that they will excuse gun control. So that's something for us to think about. I don't know if that's the case with Adam. I don't know if that's the case with the man who also last week or the week before went into a mall and shot two people and himself. I don't know what's happening out in California where a man in a older people's home, he was 80-something, he shot up three or four people and himself. So these things are happening, but it's not a matter of we need to stop having guns. We need to do away with the Second Amendment. What we need to do is pay more attention to people who are having mental health care problems, and we need to have some place to put them other than jail. And many of them could be treated and stay in their communities, but many of them need to become inpatients in mental hospitals. But they're being preserved, they're being left out in society, so they will commit crimes and go to jail long term, because the longer they stay in jail, the more money the prison investors make off of them. So that is just the way it is. It's a matter of the prison industrial complex has put these people out of their mental hospitals. They have made it very difficult for families who need mental health care treatment for someone who's seriously ill to get it without already having a dead body. The people have to prove their danger to self and others, and the only way to really prove it is to hurt someone. And when they do hurt someone, they still don't get mental health care. They generally go to prison. And so this is what's happening in the world. This is what's happening in America, and it shouldn't be that way. We need to say no to the prison industrial complex. We need to reopen our mental hospitals, and we need to use assisted outpatient treatment programs for people who are able to live free in society.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. It's time that we the people take a stand and start doing things, and stop waiting till something happens, then do things. It's too late. It's time that we take a stand. And you see, that's why it's so important that people be in L.A. to protest the NAACP. Once again, the NAACP is silenced. They don't do anything. All they do is sit back and draw in government money and these corporations' money. And I tell you, I'm excited that people are sending me all kind of messages, and they're now prepared to burn the NAACP card. We got about 30 seconds, Mary, before we go into our Burn Baby Burn segment of the show. So if you got something that you want to say, I'll bring you on later, because I got to bring Ralph on and I got to bring Alexis on. I got to bring those two individuals, both from New York. I got to bring them on, and we'll take it from there. And I see my good friend Randy is on the line. So we got everything where we want to be. It's just that time. We got to go to our segment of Burn, Baby Burn. Those of
Let's
you.
Let's burn them, Doctor. Let's burn them, Reverend.
Let's burn them. Let's burn them. Let's burn them. Those of you who have your NAACP card, it is that time. It's time to burn them. Burn. We had 3,429. Let's do it. Let's get to 3,500 today. Talking about a revolution. That's what we are talking about. It is time that things change around here. Oh, yes, they are burning the NAACP cards. We are getting it. We're going to get 3,500 today. By the time we get off the air today, we will have 3,500 NAACP membership cards burnt, and they will not renew them. That's for sure. When I get to L.A., I'm going to bring a stack of NAACP cards with me so I can burn them right in front of the Image Awards. I don't know how many I'm going to have, but I know I probably have at least 50 or 60. But listen, it's time to move on. A young lady by the name of Alexis Charles, I believe that's her name. If not, she can correct me. Alexis, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
You sound good.
I try to be good.
Well, that's the most important thing. Sometimes we have to be better than good sometimes, especially in this world today, because we know how this justice system operates, and it's shameful and it's disgraceful. But the key is not to let them get away. That's
Absolutely.
The most important thing. We got a lot of people who can help you on the line today. We got an overflow. Matter of fact, we added an additional 11,000 listeners last week, which was an all-time record. I was emailed, and they were telling me about all the additional listeners. So, you know, you got an opportunity today to tell your story. Why don't you start at the beginning? You got about 10 minutes to say whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Alexis, and I'm 26 years old. I am a mother of three, and I brought forth a federal lawsuit against Child Protective Services in Westchester County, New York. And in the beginning, you know, my children, they were removed from me based off a false accusation, you know, in which all of us, you know, we were tuning in and listening about the whole issue with mental health. I was accused of having a mental health illness and being off of medication that has never been stated anywhere on record that I had a mental illness. So my children were visited by Child Protective Services. They came into my home. They told me that I had to leave my home against my will and go into a homeless shelter, even though I had family and friends available. And while I was at my home and the caseworker was telling me that I had to make a choice at that moment or else my children will be removed from me, I subsequently stated, I said, fine, I'll go to the shelter. So I go to the shelter, and it is a terrible place to bring in three small and scared children who don't know what's going on. So then I refused to stay at the shelter because it was getting late. I presented to the caseworker that I had money, that I can go with family, and I was going to leave with my children. After that, I was handcuffed, shackled, arrested, and sent to a mental health hospital for 5 days against my will. My family was desperately trying to find my children because the department had the children, and they refused to turn them over. So we went to court. After that, I was denied due process in all aspects. I was not allowed to, during trial, to present witnesses. One witness, which would have been the best witness, was my forensic psychiatrist that disputed that I was misdiagnosed, and the judge, the court, the Child Protective Services workers, even my own attorney, would not allow me to present this evidence, bring in my doctor to explain why he did not feel that I was mentally ill, and they refused to even let him, you know, send me letters, correspond with them in any way, shape, or form. So after the entire, you know, during the trial process, I was attacked by the judge's court officers because I was asked to excuse myself from the courtroom because things became very heated in the litigation process. And after these court officers, there were six of them, they brought me to the back of the courthouse, which is surprising. It's a family courthouse, so I didn't know they had cells. And, you know, they all took turns fighting me and harming me. And I, of course, went to the hospital after that because I had several lacerations, and I was afraid. I was afraid to go back to court after that because the court officers were upset because I sued the judge in federal court for malicious prosecution and denial of due process. I requested for the judge to step down from this case several times to recuse herself, and she said no. She rendered in a judgment that I was guilty of neglect of my children based off of one-sided evidence that was proven, and now I've been going through this for 2 years now, and now that the judge has made her decision and my doctor has been trying to prove to these people that, look, there's nothing wrong with my patient. You know, she is perfectly fine to take care of the children. They now want me to enter into several different, which I call economic slavery. They want me to quit my job. They want me to get on welfare. They want me to accept mental health treatment that I don't need, which would be several different facilities they want me to go to. When I explain to them that is not, you know, a way a person should survive, is being on welfare when they're perfectly capable of working. I went to the state disability department and had them evaluate me. They also stated that I was perfectly fine and able to work. And I actually you know, when I told my attorney that this is what, you know, they wanted me to do. They wanted me to quit my job, move out of my house, move back into a shelter, and begin treatment for a lot of ailments I do not have that my doctor has already spoken with the department and said that there's nothing wrong with me. And now they're trying to terminate my parental rights because I refuse to comply with the judge's order to enter into all these services that I do not need, which would also be medication, which they are adamantly telling me that I need to take.
Wow, that's amazing. And you live in New York, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Yes. What part?
This all started from Yonkers, New York. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say Yonkers.
And how far is that from New York City?
I would say maybe a 30-minute train ride away.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's close. It's real, real good. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We I do want to report to everybody that Mr. Victor, the young man that was in prison, was in jail, him and his wife, we did locate an attorney for him, which is really something amazing, especially the way things are. But we're going to I got a lot of friends in New York who I'm going to introduce you to, and we're going to see what they can do to help you. Because first of all, I know you have spent a lot of money on lawyers. But it appears to me that you have used the wrong lawyers. But I do have people that will help you and who can help you, which is the most important thing. But I tell you what, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and then what we're going to do, we're going to see can we bring somebody on who can help you, okay?
All right. I would say that, you know, I always believed that Child Protective Services was here to protect the safety and ensure the safety of children. And my children are in peril. You know, they've been injured in care repeatedly. They lie, cover up everything. And this is me begging. You know, I normally don't cry, but I'm begging for help. My children are my world.
Well, Alexis, you know, like I said, we're going to do whatever we can to help. And there's a lot of people out there who want to help you. And most of the people that comes on this show, what we do, we go out and we're trying to find lawyers for people. And so far we have been very, very successful for reason unknown. But I think that we thank God that God is right in the middle of this situation. But Alexis, I do not want you to cry. I want you to stand strong. And I want you to make sure that, you know, you stay in touch and make sure that
we do
the things that need to be done to actually help you. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hold on for 1 second. I want to bring on my good friend, my main man. Even though he lives in New York, don't boo him, everybody, because he lives in New York. And Alexis, since you live in New York, too, I don't want him to boo you either. But listen, Ralph Horn, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening. There is so much to be covered, and you are doing one of the main issues that we need to deal with as people, and that is to determine who is on our side and to act on the information. This is something we do not seem to be able to do. And now one of the big issues, the issue of the day, are the young people who were killed just north of New York in Connecticut. And it seems that everyone or most people who speak on the issue miss the boat. They talk about gun control. They talk about security. They talk about safety. When they give up their freedom for this security, for this safety, and the government uses this to hurt people. And they tell me that one of the reasons, you know, about totalitarianism or fascism is when the people are afraid of their own government. And we have reason to be afraid of our own government. And I heard a minister speak today about this Christian nation. And we must think about the history of this Christian nation. Because the Taino people, who were the first people from this continent that the Europeans came in contact with, they're all gone. They're dead. And we have to, again, think about the indigenous people here, the Native Americans. All on reservations are dead. We have to think about what happened when Europe met Africa. And it was well documented with King Leopold of Belgium and the millions that were killed for no reason before slavery. We have to look at the continued history of imperialism. We have to look at what our president, Mr. Obama, said yesterday when he addressed this issue. And it is not surprising that many people listened very carefully and were terribly upset when he said, every American parent is hurt when their children are killed or injured, or how every American parent must feel. And it was strange because he left out the rest of the world. Anybody who leaves out the humanity of anyone else is a problem. And yet here the president leaves everyone else out. What is happening when some Afghan parent finds their children are dead? We have the Vietnamese people who fought for their freedom. How do they feel when their children die? And so this whole thing that it's only a few Americans who feel pain when their children die is not so much a single situation. It's an attitude of millions of people in America which brings about the possibility that our children can be killed at any moment. And one of the things that I heard a minister speak about, and she says, the terrible thing is that where this happened, in a community that was supposed to be safe, because it happens in other communities across this country, across this world all of the time. In Chicago, in inner cities, in L.A., in New York, in Pittsburgh, children die, but nobody pays attention to it, and it doesn't hit the media. Why did it hit the media this time? Because this is supposed to be a safe community. People go there because they want to get away from the rest of us. Those of us in inner cities, those of us of different colors, those of us who speak different languages, and those of us who are poor. So you see, there's a mental problem in America, and I'm not talking about something that can be cured by a mental health institution or a drug. There's a mental and a moral question that we don't deal with in America. It can't be handled by whether you have a gun or whether you don't have a gun. It can only be handled by consideration of others' rights, other people's human rights. Where did this angry young man come from? Who was paying attention to him? Who was paying attention to his mother, who accumulated assault weapons legally? What type of society is that? Is this where people exist and they are so-called friends and neighbors and nobody gives a damn about them? This is the issue we have to consider. We have to expand our consideration from just you and just me to just everyone, everyone now. Who is in our community? How our community relates? Who goes to our churches? And I just looked at that, and I looked at the people who went to church there, and I said, wow, this is exactly what the minister was speaking about. It was about these people and this country that separates itself from all of humanity to the degree where they destroy the very earth that we walk on, destroy the air that we breathe, the food that we drink, food that we eat, the water we drink. We all have cancer. We're all going to get it. we're all going to be victims of a corporate structure that's going to kill us, and yet we can't put our finger on the problem. And now we get back to square one, where Reverend Pinckney says, let us begin to put our finger on the problem by refusing to support those who do not support us. Very simple. Refuse to support those who do not support us. Refuse to buy from those who use the money against us. Refuse to support corporations with, you know, our money. Refuse to support unjust systems. We see Eric Holder, and it turned to my stomach. Who is Mr. Holder? He's a defender of organizations that were going around the world, particularly in Colombia, killing union, or people who wanted to unionize against Coca-Cola. Those who were killed were just peasants who wanted a living wage. They wanted to organize. Who supported the killers? Mr. Holder. He was part of a law firm that lobbied and worked and supported legally these killers. What does that mean in terms of what happened today? What happened today is we are individuals who see no need to care about our friends, our communities, or we care only about our few friends. We care only about people who call ourselves Americans, and we leave out Americans of color, Americans without money, Americans who do not have political or social power. And this leads to a disease of killing that has been a part of America, that has been a part of this Christian nation from its inception. So we have to begin to deal with these massive problems. We have to look at who we are, who we have become, and who we want to be in that mix. And I will say that, and Reverend Pinckney's party, we want to be a part of the people who are the solution to this. We want to reach out to each other. We want to understand. We want to speak clearly about every issue so that there is some understanding and that there is some way to deal with it. And when you talk about chips, let us not forget what's happening with the auto industry. You buy a car, they know where you are every minute. You go through a toll, they keep those records as to where you are. People fight against it. You ask, I forget what it costs to remove this from your new car, $400 or $500. There have been lawsuits carried against companies putting these chips everywhere. But it's bigger than a chip. It has to be an emotional chip that is put in our minds through education, that we must care about the air we breathe. We must care about all of the people on the planet. We must pay attention to our religion, whatever religion it is, because they all say the same thing: respect the earth, respect the people around you, love to be, have concern about everyone around you. But we disobey that, and now we're worried about a chip. To or not to have a chip is not the problem. To have or not to have concern about our fellow human beings, about our environment, is the real problem. And until we get that concern, we're in big trouble. So, Reverend Pinckney, continue your great work. Our lawyer, Lynn Stewart, who carried many cases like the one we just heard of, who got involved in many cases for free, who was honest about the situations that people were involved in, is in jail. So we see that our government puts people in jail who are the best among us. And all we have to do is look at our political list of political prisoners in jail. And what happened? Again, the same problem. They worked for the people, and the people seem to have forgotten them. We worry about who's on X something and who is singing the loudest or who is singing the longest, and we forget about the real issues. We get concerned about the things that we have, and we forget about the real issue. We forget about the Haitian people. I don't even know the number. I want to get it right. Was that 8,000 died of cholera? The UN, the United Nations, is supposed to be an organization that helps people. We have to look at that. They helped no one. They're the problem, and they don't want to have anything, any connection with what they did to the people of Haiti. The Americans, the French, and the Canadians, who were responsible for the Haitians' inability to deal with storms, it's the unnatural storm of imperialism. The unnatural storm of capitalism happened to them. And if we just look around the world, we see the problem when you refuse to look at reality. We just have a terrible situation in South Africa where the apartheid government was responsible for wiping out a people. The people of the Kalahari, the Bushmen, they are gone. There are only 60 of them left. And then somebody pats themselves on the back and say, gee, for those 60, we have gotten them a home, and they have a pension. Well, their land was taken. And this is not much to repay for stealing somebody's land, destroying land, taking the minerals. Only 60 of them are left. And then say, gee, we're going to help out those 60. Well, it's a little too late, and it's a much too little. And we who say we have organizations of freedom and democracy must stop lying to ourselves and say, hey, we have an imperialist empire that goes around raping the rest of the world, and they will rape you in any way they can that puts a dollar in their pocket. And until we begin to concern ourselves with these issues of morality, it's going to go on. There is no end. And you may be next. So thanks, Reverend Pinckney, for giving us a handle to fight back. Burn not only your NAACP card, but the card of every organization that you support, excuse me, that does not support you. And Lynn Stewart is with us. She's in the prison there. Look up LynnStewart. .org, and you will see of the many struggles that she fought supporting the people. And so let us reach out to all our political prisoners. Let us reach out to all of the people who work to make our lives better, more moral, and support them. As Mary Neal, I love it when she says, you have a dollar, don't give it to somebody who's going to hurt you or lie to you. Give it to Reverend Pinckney, who has proven that he's on our team. Let us get on his team. Thank you again.
Hey, Ralph, thank you so much. And I want to wish Lynn a Merry, Merry Christmas. And we're going to send her a Christmas card to let her know that we're thinking about her. But I want you to know that we love you, Ralph. We love Lynn. And I want you to stay strong and continue this fight.
You know I will, Reverend. And
yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Listen,
I'm going to stay on the line because I want you to have a last word. But on that note, I'm going to bring on my good friend, Dr. Randy Short. Dr. Randy Short, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney.
How are you doing today?
I am blessed, and I'm especially blessed when I hear the brother from New York speak. I just wanted to report to you, I got a call from an activist student at the University of Maryland.
Okay.
The police attacked some black girls after party and beat them and jailed one of them.
Wow. Wow. We need to get in touch with them immediately.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's upsetting to me because they got the boys, and now, like Lynn Stewart, they want the girls too.
Oh.
We have to stop them. We have to stop them. For comic relief, I said to the young man, call the NAACP just so you'll have a reference to the fact that they didn't help you, because they'll make a liar and excuse and say no one contacted them. So I told him, call them so they won't do anything, to just prove my point that we need new organizations, we need to support Banco, we need to fight to get people like Lynn Stewart, because so few attorneys will stand up for people. There's a major, major fraud going on in the legal field, and that is it's got a lot of attorneys afraid to represent people because they may get in trouble, which means that if the police do something to you, something happens, you're just out there, and we have a lot of corruption in the bureaucracy. But I wanted to put this out here while I had this moment to remind people that that killing in Colorado, the kill in Aurora, Colorado, and this killing in Connecticut has to be related to psychotropic drugs. We have a pharmaceutical industry that will stop at nothing to steal, kill, and destroy as long as profits result. And this happens over and over and over again. Even the kids at Columbine were on psychotropic drugs, but it's never been explained that you have these children on these dangerous drugs that don't really make people better, that kill, and they know it. And the same way that Pfizer makes Depo-Provera, and by the way, Pfizer underwrites the AXO program of the NAACP, Depo-Provera kills black women all over this planet, and it's targeted to hurt us, to eliminate us. We really need to stop looking just because it's got a brand name or it's a box that's sold in the store and see it as necessarily a solution. It could be a problem. The same Zyklon B that killed Jews in the showers came in a nice little box. We have to become more savvy, more spiritual, more aware, to not just go by how things look. We also need to be real about the young man who, Mr. Lanza, who shot those people. His father works for General Electric. General Electric makes the engines for the drones that murder children all over this planet. General Electric has done $9 billion worth of business with this government this year. General Electric is part of the military-industrial complex. Expect the cover-up of this case. General Electric, having collected something like $20 billion between 2006 and now, hasn't paid one penny in taxes. It is reported or alleged that the boy who did the killing, who then killed himself, his father's allegedly the tax director for General Electric. And there's also a member of GE's corporate staff somewhere high up in the Obama administration. Very interesting. I was very disgusted that no one cried for children in Somalia or Afghanistan or Yemen or Bahrain or Gaza or the West Bank or Ivory Coast or Nigeria, or in Congo, or in Colombia, or in Honduras, where Mr. Obama had the first coup to get rid of a government that wanted to give a decent wage to its people and include black Hondurans for the first time. Or no one cries for the ones in Haiti where this president made people hold up so the people would die within the ruins before aid was brought in. People really need to take a second look. And I want to speak in particular, there is a pride problem among African Americans. They're so proud that there's a black person in the White House. They can't see the evil that he allows himself to do or willingly does. The people who run the country are the powerful elites and the rich. Whoever is president will do bad deeds, black, white, polka dot, psychedelic pink. We really need to have our own people's caucuses, our own people's movements. It will not come through government. It will come through people working in the streets, working to change before this country goes over, not a fiscal cliff, but a moral, ethical cliff from which there can be no recovery. That's all I have to say, Reverend Pinckney.
Well, you know what, Dr. Randy Short, you have said enough. You said a whole mouthful, and I appreciate you, too. I appreciate what you said, but also we're also getting ready to do our thing in Los Angeles. Randy Short is also one of the individuals who is spearheading this thing. So I want people to know that we will be in Los Angeles, California, February the 1st, to protest, the NAACP. And the reason, we are sick and tired of the NAACP. They are out of touch with our black community. They are out of touch with the community and a bunch of sellouts. And we're here to stop them. But also, I got good news. We have went over the 3,500 mark. We have 3,515 cars burned as of now. And I expect a lot more before we get off the air. So we're moving. We're moving right along. And it appears that we're getting the job done that needs to be done. But, Randy, I just want to thank you. And stay strong. And we'll be friends forever.
All right. Bless you.
All right now. Okay, have a good day now, and take care of yourself.
I will. Bye-bye.
All right. Sister Ali, are you there? Sister Ali, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm excited that everyone is telling the truth. And if you look at it, it's a piece of the puzzle for everybody that's equal enough to the truth. There's a piece here, a piece there, and we all have to bring it together, Reverend Pinckney.
Absolutely, absolutely. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to show people how we can work together to get this thing done. So that's, to me, that's very, very important. Hey, tell us a little bit about some of the things that's been happening to you.
Yes, sir. I am a target individual, and I want to share something with everyone and letting them know what's really going on. Okay, for me being a victim, a targeted individual, with the government, these allies, and those who are participating in this mind control, this mind altering technology, and what's happening, they want people to be classified as mentally ill. And I want all of those who know about the technology, this go back hundreds of years. And from this going back hundreds of years, the technology is easily, they're using the people in the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the psychiatric department to make like the victims are mentally ill. And what's been happening to me is I'm explaining the technology on a tedious level because the government is not telling these psychiatrists that this technology exists. And because they are not, this is why this is going on. I have located the perpetrators who's using the technology on me because the creator allowed one of these agents to slip up and have some interference on the cell phone. And from I'm able to understand who he is and look up here, do my own independent investigation, because it's sad that you can't go to no one to investigate these types of crimes for you. You have to do it on your own. I have his address. I have retrieved computer application forms where they actually wrote computer forms to send a microwave energy to attack me. And what I'm doing is I'm going to get some computer programmer experts to read these forms and go over these forms to be able to show that this is actually what it states. I Googled the information in. I put my information in, plus the perpetrator who's using this on me, and then it's two of them. And I learned that these people are both involved in, they are rock band musicians, and they both are using this technology on me. But guess what? I did find out after I got a body scan. I discovered that these implants were placed in my body and from Oklahoma. I was born in the state of Oklahoma.
Are those implants, are they chips or what are they?
What's happening to safely tell you? The technology picked up the frequencies in my body in seven different locations across my scapula and my spine and one in my head. Now, mind you, me and my brother is two different ages. I was 6 months when I went in the hospital, and my brother was 2 years old. And the doctors in Oklahoma told my mother that we both had hernias, at the same time, and they needed to do surgery on both of us. And I truly believe that's when me and my brother was implanted with this technology. So then I came out in California since I was 5 years old, and I never been back to Oklahoma except for one time, but I never would visit a hospital. And when a person scanned me, they said that this is the Western United States pattern that when the person who did the scanning, he stated that these scans were from the western part of the United States of Kansas, and I told him I was from Oklahoma. So he said everybody he scanned had this pattern. So what is happening is these people are implanted from birth and not aware of it, but the thing is when they want to activate that chip to attack you, then that's when you become aware that you have been implanted. So it don't mean because you who you are now, you and your straight, stable mind, don't mean that you ain't a victim of this technology. And I want to share this briefly with you. Everybody needs to know that when the technology attack you, it's like a foreign object in your body, and your brain, your functions, your mind can't detect the strange activities going on in your mind, because when they attack you with this electromagnetic energy, microwave energy, you know, it's like somebody give you a hot shot, electrical shock of voltage going through your mind. So when it's attack you, you don't know what is happening until you have the power to say, I know something ain't right in my life. All these different strange things happen in my life. So what we do as victims who refuse to think that we have a mental illness, we get on the internet, we do our research, and we find out many of us is victims of this technology. So I say to everyone, go do the research, and those who people who you think are mentally ill, they are targeted individuals, and that lady who they said trying to frame her as being mentally ill, she's a targeted individual. She's an indirect target because they targeted her to make like she had a mental illness to take her child away from her, because they did the same thing to me, too, before I realized I was targeted. So it's a pattern with this technology, and I want everyone to start looking up government mind-altering technology as well as microchips and who are the inventors of this technology, and you will understand that what you think is people supposed to be mentally ill, these are victims. And they, and another thing, I'm going to say this and let Rev Pinkney move on. If people are so mentally ill, then why they won't tell people that the government has mind-altering technology? Because that is their instrument to discredit what they are doing with these radiation human experimentation programs.
Wow. And a lot of times people probably don't understand about the microwave or anything like that. I know that they can use that. But the idea is to control the people. Regardless what it is, did you know that there's more than half a million, I would say a million people that's targeted individuals here in the United States, in the United States alone?
Well, Reverend Pinkney, you can be a targeted individual and don't know it, because
right,
they have different techniques they use on people. Well, and I'm going to tell you what they can do, and be aware of it. You can have somebody that's all of a sudden had their lives together, and all of a sudden they turn to want to do drugs, and they lose everything. That can be a targeted individual, because they can send this notion to the person's mind. They can use people as we call them handlers. Like they gotta put like people in your circle that they know they can weaken their mind to use them to get the ultimate situation done by bringing them people in your life and then using them and setting up situations where they could kill a family member. And like these people have, it was a tragedy about these people, children. Mind me, keep an eye out on how these people, not saying that you wouldn't be hurt that your child died, but they'll use a situation like a tragedy like that and use their technology on these people and drive them insane and act like these people have mentally lost it on their own. And that's how dangerous it is. It's a camouflage of the things that they can do. And that's why it's very important that you get educated and learn that just because because somebody seemed to have it all together and lose it, that is not these people. These people are, they want to test out and see how they can use this technology on masses of people. And when they use it on people, either you're going to go insane and without doing your research and end up in a mental hospital, or you're going to be one to fight for your sanity and go do the homework and find out I'm not insane. And that's why we, as a targeted individual who know that we were experimented on, we learned we had to reach out outside of the targeted individual community, because we all know what's happening. But we got to get to people like yourself, Reverend Pinckney, and others who know nothing about this technology to get educated, though. Fight for our issue, because I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We are top of the list of the lowest that the government will go. When you want to create some technology that can bother somebody's mind, nobody is safe, because they exist, and because they exist, nobody is exempt when they decide if you're talking too much and they don't like you, if they want to turn the technology and use it on you.
All right. Ms. Ali, I tell you, you told the story, and I know a lot of people don't believe that they could be targeted by the government, but I'm here to tell you, you can be targeted by the government. All they want to do is control your mind. They want to control you. They want to make sure that they're in total control. And, you know, and some of the things that be happening, that you almost have to say that they're using mind controlling devices. You know, like in Aurora, you know, different places that why would someone just kill children? That I don't know. Listen, I got to move on. I want to bring on Kim just for a second, but we'll get back with you later. Ken, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. Hey, would you call Jeff on me and ask him to speak, 7454, let him speak real quick?
7454. I do not see him.
Okay, maybe he's not on. Well, what Amy was telling you is very true.
Okay, I got him. Okay, go ahead. You there? Hello? Jeff.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Are you there, Jeff?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go right ahead.
In a nutshell, this is targeted individuals, of which I'm one. We've been placed on the domestic anti-terrorism program of the United States, which went into effect post 9/11. It requires no due process, no probable cause. It requires to place you on it. And it's kicked off. It's kicked off when a national security letter is issued and filed in Washington on you. A Freedom of Information Act request at Wired.com article, 350,000 plus national security letters have been issued since 2000. Prior to that, in the 70s, when the National Security Act went into effect in the 70s, about a half a dozen of them were ever used. Now, hundreds and hundreds of thousands are used, with some years not available. The numbers aren't available. So, you know, 500,000 more. And what it is it's a comprehensive program. It's COINTELPRO, exactly, by the FBI. The local and state police, it's known as Red Squads. And I learned that from a former FBI whistleblower by the name of Mike German. Ted Gunderson, another former FBI officer, and Mike German, by the way, was an domestic anti-terrorism FBI officer, and he came out and said, yes, it's absolutely a fact that we've moved away from surveillance based on individualized suspicion. The Fourth Amendment standard of probable cause and a warrant has basically evaporated. And he basically said the government can now collect information about people it doesn't even suspect of wrongdoing. So what you have is law enforcement is using the domestic anti-terrorism program as an extrajudicial vendetta program. Anybody they got a beef with for any reason, for any reason they can't prosecute them under the legitimate judicial system. And they may run provocation programs on you to get you arrested. They may intentionally run provocation activities upon you. And when they realize that you're not going to do anything illegal, you can be placed on this program. Okay, many people, that's their story. They run cars in front of you. They play all sorts of games to get you to react so that they can arrest you. When you know what's going on and you don't react, you can then I'm sure in the back room they say, let's place them on the domestic anti-terrorism program. The Patriot Act authorizes it. The Patriot Act did away with about half a Bill of Rights. Judge Napolitano has called it the most hateful piece of legislation ever passed in America. And what you have then is targeted people. They turned inward. They turned inward on the United States citizens under the fraud of the war on terror. And I've learned a lot of this by Alex Jones, Infowars.com. He's an advocate for people that have freedom. The whole country is having their freedoms taken away. And this is happening, Republican or Democrat. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bush did the same. Obama, Clinton. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. These folks are having a different agenda. They have agenda. Central bankers play a key role in this. And Alex Jones and InfoWars get the word out on he's posted a lot of articles about targeted individuals. A former journalist who's been targeted, his name is Vic Livingston, has at least one very good article posted on Alex Jones from 2008. And it's an excellent article of how people are comprehensively put under continual surveillance by a comprehensive network of not only professional law enforcement people, but also citizen, volunteer, I call them brown shirts, but they're basically people who signed up with InfraGuard and Citizens Corps and community watch groups all over this nation, being surveilled based on no crimes. And Jesse Ventura has also done a lot to bring this to the forefront. He did a whole episode on InfraGuard based in Oklahoma City. InfraGuard will go to your dentist, your medical profession, your businesses, and basically they recruit them to spy on people that they tell them they'd like information about, who have been in their mind and with no due process declared a threat of some sort, with no due process. So,
Jeff, let me ask you a question, Jeff. What if someone told you that this is not happening, that this could not be happening? What would your answer be?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a good question. I've actually had that head said to me by Captain Peter Siegel, Nashua, New Hampshire police. Hey, I'm just going to tell the truth because that was the truth. He patronized me and said none of this is happening. Well, what I say now is I've been placed on the domestic anti-terrorism program of the United States with no due process and no probable cause. That's going on every day. With every single day it's going on across the nation in every state. And that's what I'm placed on. Never say gang stalking. That's what they want you to say.
Yes.
As soon as you say gang stalking, they're going to drag you off to have a mental evaluation. That is in their manual. You just
What's the correct term?
Say you've been targeted with COINTELPRO, the domestic anti-terrorism program of the United States post 9/11. You've been targeted on the domestic anti-terrorism program with no due process and no probable cause. The problem is the federal government will not release the list of national security letters. This has been attempted by other people, lawyers and whatnot. They won't release, and it's all under national, all they got to do is say national security. just like there's 50, just like for instance, similar, there's 50 security tapes of the Pentagon on 9/11 that they won't release. The FBI went out and confiscated them within 5-10 minutes after it was supposedly hit by a Boeing 757. Well, and there was a 16-foot hole diameter with no 757 wreckage. And they show you 5 clips from a parking meter security. But they got, that was the most heavily defended airspace in the world. They got 50 security tapes confiscated by the FBI that would show you in America and the world a cruise missile going into that building. Because you can look at the photos that are all over the internet. Just Google up 9/11 Pentagon pics. And if you see a tail section and wing marks, anything that looks anything like a Boeing 757, please send it to me. Because I've looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos, and there's nothing there except a green lawn and some fire trucks in a 16-diameter hole. Well, this is the same thing that they're doing to a targeted individuals. All under the name of the war on terror and anti-terrorism, everything gets sealed. So a lot of the information that targeted individuals would need to get to show that they have been targeted by this program have been sealed. And that has been in the news, that they would be sealed for another 5 years, which just recently came out. But that's what you're under. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of infiltrators and a lot of people that are going to try to tell you it's the Masons and all this nonsense. Well, I've had a few people just flat out tell me what it was. I grew up from grade school with a fellow that was a state policeman for a state, and he got up to a master sergeant. He told me what it was. I knew this guy my whole life. We played sports together all through our growing up and into high school. And he said, "You're on a federal, this is a federal program. It's a federal program, and it's, and, you know, the people in the states and the local, they have to go along with it. They've been federalized to go along with it. They can't just say, okay, I'm going to tell you all about this." I think it's a felony. I've been told by people it's a felony for them to do that. They've been federalized, and they work in the Department of Homeland Security and the fusion centers. They fuse together all these groups. State, local police, FBI, InfraGuard, Citizens Corps, all of them. They bring them together. They got like 70 buildings across this country, and they're spying on Americans, and they're listening to phone calls. They're reading emails. Just in the news within the last couple of days, they want to now have access to all the text messages and collect all the text messages that go on. That's how much computer storage power that they have with the NSA. They have huge amount of storage power. And so once you're targeted, I mean, they're going to do everything they can. And this is just some things they've done to me. They get a GPS into your vehicle. I went to the dentist, and I'll tell you, I knew things were different. They got a chip into my right PMJ muscle, okay, so that it's done with a dentist. And I learned from Alex Jones, whose father is a dentist, that shortly after 9/11, his father, who has 16 offices, he has a big dental practice, was approached by InfraGuard to cooperate with them to spy on patients that they deemed, and that this program deems a threat to disclose information. And, of course, probably to help them with chipping people that they think need to be chipped because they've been a national security letter, and his father said, "No, I'm not going to go along with that." But my dentist, you know, when there's a thunderstorm now, sometimes you don't have to get a sophisticated test to know that something's changed in your life. I'm 54 years old, and I've been through decades and decades worth of thunderstorms, thunder and lightning storms. And post that chip going in, when all my fillings all of a sudden had to be replaced, now when a lightning and thunderstorm happens, as soon as the lightning strikes nearby, I feel pain, sharp pain in my right PMJ muscle. Mm. Boom. You know, so, you know, then they do all sorts of invasive, and by the way, brain invasive technology still use on you. Monday night, tomorrow night, and if I don't have it right, I apologize in advance, but tomorrow night, Jesse Ventura is supposed to be having a show called an episode of conspiracy theory called Brain Invaders, where people who are targeted, individuals, will be appear on that show.
Wow.
Of what's going on. And it's supposed to be
tomorrow. Hey, listen, Jeff, you got about 90 seconds. I want you to talk about a little bit about the microwave. That's something I do know about. I need you just to explain that as briefly as possible and so we can move on. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Microwave energy will be used on you once you're chipped because they can always locate you, and it can come from the cell tower system. It can come from satellites. It can come from handheld devices. There's no doubt about all those things. Major Roke, R-O-K-K-E, confirmed that microwave-directed energy weapons are commonly used in the military, commonly used, handheld, truck-mounted, ship-mounted, helicopter-mounted, aircraft, airplane-mounted. The cell tower system across the United States has been weaponized. The patents, I've read the patents on Vic Livingston's website. He's a big advocate of its all the cell tower system. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one bit. But I believe all the others are used as well. And what they do is they bake you every night. They'll just turn it on, and you'll suffer. I slept on the floor hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nights because the metal in a frame of a bed will conduct it and make it worse. And not that getting off the bed eliminates it. And then when you move around anywhere, you can move around anywhere. They'll find you.
I know one thing, Jeff, that's amazing. Listen, hey, I appreciate you telling that story. And I tell you one thing, I believe every minute of it, every moment of it, every second of it, because I don't put anything past this government. But listen, I want you to hang on just for a second. I'm going to give you 60 seconds at the end of the show. I want to bring on Ken, and we're going to start. We're going to give everybody 90 seconds to say whatever they want.
Okay.
All right. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, Pink. Thank you a lot. And what I want to say is all these citizens that's going along with this, they need to rethink what they're doing, because we're going the same way that Hitler was. He had all the German people spying on their brothers, their mothers, and everybody else. And after he took power, he had them all killed. So just remember, if you're going along with this program, you need to rethink that. And I do appreciate your time, and send Reverend Pinkney some money on the billboard. I did get a guy who wanted to stay anonymous to tell me he was going to donate $1,000. So
hey,
I'll be getting with him, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey, that sounds wonderful. Also, I'm also going to be taking a trip to L.A. I would like for somebody to donate some money for me to get there also. If they can do whatever they can, we're not pushing the button, but whatever they can send, I will be happy with. And I want to tell all my listeners, I need to get to L.A., and I'm going to need your help. So on that
note, thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, then. All right, Ken. Thank you, and you have a good day.
Okay, you do the same.
All right. Alexis, are you there? Alexis?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Alexis, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desires. I know you need an attorney, someone out in New York who can help you. We're going to be working on that. We're going to make sure that things happen a little bit different than before, and I plan on being in New York sometime in February. I don't know the exact date yet until Ralph Pointer give me the date. I don't know. But I plan to be there, and we're going to see what we can do to help you out.
Oh, that's amazing.
But, you know, you just stay focused, and I know how strenuous this is on you, but we're going to do what we can.
Yes, we just got to keep fighting.
That's right. And, you know, you just let everybody know that, you know, that we're fighting for the right thing.
Exactly.
All right, then. You take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Or no, I want you to call me tonight after 8.
Okay, no problem.
All right, then.
All righty, bye.
Bye now. Ralph Pond, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening to all of the issues that have been raised this evening, and I think it's important that we must all expand the listenership by getting more people to call in and listen in and to cover these issues. And we must remember that society is targeted. There's no jobs, no housing, no medical care, minimum wage workers, unemployed. We have a problem where our government becomes the enemy. We know what the Patriot Act is, and yet many of us went out and supported someone who supported the Patriot Act, and I'm talking about our president, President Obama. He lied about what he would do with those who promulgated the Patriot Act, and then the moment he became president, he says, well, indicting President Bush is off the chart. You know, that's off the table. We're not going to do that. Right after campaigning on, he was going to do that. And he continues through his 4 years of presidency, and I'm sure he's going to continue with his next 4 years of saying one thing and speaking out the other side of his mouth. We are not supposed to be affected by the Republican push on entitlements. And at the same time, he's saying that he's not going to cut entitlements. He has committees working on cutting entitlements. We must pay attention. And as Reverend Pinckney says, do not support any organization that does not support you. And we do not leave political parties out of this formula. They are very much a part of the formula. And so let us stay with that. Let us not forget those who supported us all of these years, our political prisoners, where they have just thrown the law away. The law does not apply to our political prisoners. When they serve their time, then they are given more time. This is outrageous. This is happening in America. Let us look up political prisoners. Let us look up Jericho. And please, let us go to lynnstewart.org and look and see what's happening to our lawyer, the people's lawyer, who has done nothing but justice for the people without money, without representation. They put her in jail. We must not tolerate this. We must not tolerate any organization, and that includes religious organizations. If your religious organization is not supporting your freedoms, then you can't support your religious organization. Start a new one. And who was it who said, the God is in the closet? You do not need the church for that. You do not need an organization for that. You have a relationship with your God, whoever he or she is. And the organization that you belong to now that does not support your human rights is not an organization that you need to support. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, Rap. And I just want to say that those of you who want to send money, you send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Let me repeat that. Those of you who want to help sponsor my trip to L.A. and also for the billboard, you can send me a check to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And on that note, I got to bring in Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry it took so long. We had so many folks, and everybody, you know, it just was getting the job done today. I think we had a tremendous show. But listen, you got about 3 minutes to say whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Okay, it was a fabulous show. I'm going to email everybody. Everybody must hear it. It was incredible today, and we all have to come together, no matter what our color is. We must join forces together to save ourselves, to save our children, to save education, to save our cities and our country. It's so important. And I'm so sorry what happened, and Mary Neal's right about the mental illness, that we've got to address that issue. The medicine will kill you. It has a whole list of everything. Disgusting. And also, LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, is a death trap. Charles Smith has died. The NAACP didn't care when he died. I'm totally disabled. My children, my students were injured. 180 of them sat in toxic chemicals. The court system here in California is so corrupt. The appeals court of the state of California couldn't even read my appeal. The doctor said he didn't have the evidence to prove it, and the judge, Gerald Cohn, made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts. I ask everybody out there to pray that the California Supreme Court has my writ. And I ask everybody to pray that they accept it and they turn this around, because this applies to every injured worker, every person going through the court system, that a judge can't make a medical diagnosis, can't change all the facts. A doctor cannot change the facts to whatever the case they want to be. And places like LAUSD can't spend millions of dollars to destroy my life, kill me off, make my condition worse, kill off a teacher, have me get sicker. I have nodules on my lungs. I have toxic fibromyalgia. I can't pay my bills. I don't have money for food. I'm losing my house. As we're speaking, people are coming through at an open house to sell my home. We must join together. And our children, I was talking to a teacher who taught in Los Angeles. She opened her mouth and she said, it's so different. I said, yes, because the children are black. They're low income. Some of the parents are illegal, so they don't want to stand up. But we must all stand up together, because it's a blessing when they're taught right by a school district that cares about them. There's wonderful teachers, but Los Angeles Unified School District only cares about the money. They only care about winning. They only care about their pet projects. They didn't call the paramedics. The school police wouldn't do anything. They didn't clean up the room from the toxic chemicals. What kind of a place is this? A concentration camp to kill off teachers? We've got rubber rooms with teachers on trumped-up charges because they're higher on the pay scale. All of this. They're trying to take away our minds, our health, our livelihood, our independence. We must stand up to everything, and everybody needs to stop voting in the same people that are doing nothing, and we just have this mess going on.
Well, Roz, you know, that's amazing. A lot of times people, you know, one thing about a teacher, normally they don't get in the fight until the end. But I tell you one thing, I appreciate you standing up fighting for all these years. And I tell you, we're going to do whatever we can to help you. I will be in L.A. February the 1st. So I expect to see you down at the Shiner Auditorium. And I think it starts at 5, but we're going to get there about, I would say, maybe about 2 o'clock on that day. So I expect to see you. I'll get a chance to meet you, and I want you to tell your friends to come, and we're going to have a glorious time on that day. And on
I
that
want
note,
to, and also, there's a group that wants you to come and speak to them, so I have to talk to you. And they asked me about you.
Okay, well, you tell them that, let's see, can we put that into my schedule?
Right, and also this business about Los Angeles Unified School District, every time I call about a meeting, they can't exactly tell me because they don't want people to be there.
Right, because I want to go there. The last
right.
time I was there, I rocked that boat, so I'm going to continue to do what I do. And, Rob, I got to let you go, but I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you. It's a blessing always.
All right, you can call me afterwards.
Okay, I will.
All right, then. Randy Short, are you there? You got about 90 seconds to say whatever you need to say. You're not there. Okay, let me go on. Mary.
Yes, Randy Picnic. What a wonderful
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, sir. This was a wonderful show. We heard from so many sweet people who were having different situations, and I am so glad that people from all walks of life are coming to realize that we must unite against oppression. We must stand together against oppression. And I ask everyone to spend whatever they can to help you to go to L.A. and stand against the NAACP. They are like the people who did the Tuskegee experiment. These were done by black people as well as white people who killed and watched black people die of syphilis. These were black people as well as white people who did it. We need to make an example of them. I ask you to please go to your internet and look up the petition. It is called Petition for Prosecution of the Tuskegee Experiment Murderers. cold. They're trying to turn me off. It's called prosecute Tuskegee experiment murderers. We need to prosecute those people so that they will know. The doctors today, the dentists today, who are told to put microchips in us and who are told to vaccinate us with unsafe medication, they need to know that we will eventually be around to live. So please sign that petition. Please send Reverend Pinkney a generous offering, because he is standing up for us. He's standing up for our rights on the radio. He's going to meetings, and he's also protesting people like the NAACP. And I want you to know there are many wonderful people with clear, precise motivation to do right who are members of the NAACP. But the national office is corrupt. It is very corrupt, and they do not mean anybody any good, black, white, or other. They're all about.
All right, Mary. Listen, I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. Bobby, are you there? Bobby.
Yes. Sorry, Reverend Pinkney.
You're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, I got on late, man. I'm just coming back from a police shooting down here.
Tell us a little bit what's been happening with the NAACP down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, man.
Man, I've been getting all kind of emails about them. But you only got about 4 minutes, though?
Yeah, but what happened is they finally going to get a...
Meeting and giving out information to this group that we have. I heard all kind of stuff in reference to them. But we have to stay focused and do what we need to do and make sure that we're prepared to take this thing to another level. But listen.
The NAACP, like I said, is full of false prophets, false preachers, and false dreams. That's what they offer.
Absolutely. You are 100% right. And I'm sorry to say this, but we have no more time.
Okay.
We are completely out of time. But sorry that you got on a little bit too late, but we won't worry about that. But I'm going to have to say goodnight to everybody as we listen to a little Tracy Chapman. Goodnight, everybody.
Talking about the river, shining down. trying